You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
As always, we're looking for your opinion, and this time it's on the third and final presidential debate last night between Barack Obama and John McCain.
I was disappointed in McCain's the character he showed last night. He was condescending as he spoke of Sarah Palin, his running mate, describing her as being very proud of her, rather than describing her as the running mate.
Well, there you have it. There's one thing to think about. What did you come away with after watching the debate? Did you watch the whole thing? Were you turned off at some point? Give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE or drop us a note, mytakeatthetakeaway.org. John?
And don't forget, the polls are open. America's Exit Poll wants to know your stories of voting. And, Dora, I know you're jealous of me up here at WGBH in Boston with Benjamin Mako Hill, who's a fellow at MIT's Center for Future Civic Media.
I am.
Mako, thanks so much for being here.
It's great to be here, yeah.
You know, we've already heard in the show, okay, a story of reporters from states where people are in play and they're attempting to track the movement of voters who were in one party and maybe are moving to somewhere else. Legal challenges for voter registration lists, the technology of which seems to be well into the, like, 17th century rather than the 21st. I want to begin by just asking you, as far as a Center for Future Civic Media is concerned, this has to be a pretty important moment to be thinking about such issues.
That's absolutely true. It's also I think interesting because we talk about sort of civic technology and civic things all the time, but the most exciting thing is that lots of other people seem to care right now because people are thinking about the election.
And the fact that people get engaged suddenly creates all kinds of opportunities for you to test democracy in ways that we can't really even understand yet, and that a lot of your work will actually be giving us some really interesting insights and windows. Let's talk, for instance, about the presentation you made to our staff a few months back about your Selectricity project, which is a really interesting, different way of thinking about elections.
Sure, absolutely. So Selectricity is, it's sort of described as voting machinery for the masses. But the idea is that it's election technology. In fact, a lot of the best of election technology sort of put to use for everyday decision making. I think that, there was actually a little exchange earlier about saying we've got all these new registered voters. Are they going to be here in 4 years? I think it's sort of, are they going to come back, be interested?
Right, right.
And I think it plays to this idea that when we think about elections and voting, we're almost entirely focused on government and state-based elections, right? And the result is that we think of, democracy as something that happens once every 4 years. So, like, this is from a technologist perspective, right? So, I mean, that's a little selfish of me, but that's how I think about it.
Well,
things.
You are from MIT,
that's
so
right.
We'll forgive you.
That's
know.
Right. So from a technologist perspective, you can't help but notice that while there are, there's huge departments that are working on new election technologies, and as it turns out, governments are probably the least likely group to adopt any new election technology. So we have all sorts of technologies for helping people make better decisions. And the result is, the fact is that almost none of it's used ever.
And Selectricity is a tool for basically setting up elections as a way of establishing a preference, not a yes or no vote.
That's right. So in a very simple way, instead of just selecting one thing, people sort of can rank a set of candidates, and then using, better what are called election methods, right? Better ways of counting votes. This Selectricity can choose from a series of different methods which allow people to select the candidate which sort of maximizes preference within the group. The idea is that if you have, let's say, a polarized electorate, nothing we know about, right? this can kind of disadvantage third-party candidates, as we see and as we know. And one result of this is that a compromise candidate may not have much of a chance, right? Even if they're the person that sort of would make everyone just as happy, they may not have the most number one votes and
but
frequently
with
don't.
Preferences, it's easier to enforce and see compromises come together, and people can do this on their own. That's what's so interesting.
That's right. Absolutely. So people can, using Selectricity, you can go and create any election you want just in 30 seconds. And, people use it to decide meeting times. People use it to decide things that are actually look more like the types of elections that we're used to. Like people have elected organizational boards of directors using it. But, really the sky's the limit.
And so, Mako, essentially is what you get to is the thing that people are least likely to reject. Is that
that's
a good way of saying it?
I think that's right. I think that you'd say that I think that you have the one that sort of maximizes preference within the group, right? So I think that that's right. The one that makes most people the most happy.
But is that a way of enforcing cynicism, where you instead of like lesser of two evils, it's lesser of 12 evils?
I don't think I'd say that. But you'd say, I mean, I think that the problem is that the current system can't even choose the lesser of two evils. So actually choosing the one that makes most people the most happy, even if it doesn't make everyone make anyone as happy as they possibly
Mako,
could be.
Give us an example, like a specific example.
Well, I mean, so an example would be, I mean, I guess.
Let's say you had a group of people and the choice was Indian food, Italian food, or Americano food. How would you set up electricity there?
So you'd go to Sell Electricity, you'd just create an election really quickly, you'd put in those three choices, and then people would be presented with a list. They would basically sort things in the list in the order of their preference. Now we might have a situation where half the people love Indian food but hate Americano food, and half the people love Americano food but hate Indian food. And but the second choice, I don't recall what it was.
The third choice would then win out because it would be the compromise choice.
It would win out if we use a preferential method.
Right.
If we use a traditional sort of first past the post, which one has this number one?
Then we fight about lunch all afternoon long, and nobody gets to eat. Right. That's the problem. Right. Final question before we go in this segment anyway. You're here for the rest of the hour. Where in civic media are people becoming more and more engaged? Where are people really reaching out to use tools and to get involved? Is it cell phone? Is it texting? Is it social aggregation communities like Facebook? Is it Selectricity?
So, I mean, I think that it's the combination. It's all of them, but it's also the combination of all of them, right? I mean, the reality is that we don't live our lives through our cell phones any more than we live them through Facebook. We use a combination of these tools, and the most important possibilities, I think, are actually places where you can have access to some of these tools from a variety of places and interact with them in a series of different ways.
And indeed, you've already seen the candidates and the campaigns attempting to reach everybody in all places at once. We're certainly going to know a lot about what civic media means at the end of this election, that's for sure.
Absolutely.